Greetings and welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and yours truly, your host, Link Flores. I hope everybody had a wonderful and productive and fulfilling Thanksgiving holiday weekend. It is actually Wednesday, November 29th, when I'm recording this because I got behind. And I'll tell you a little bit more about why in just a moment. But I had a wonderful Thanksgiving, and I hope that you guys did as well. Let's just get the business part out of the way. Thank you guys for coming to listen to this podcast. Don't forget that you can also check me out over on Patreon at patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios, where I have an update for people who are currently subscribed on Patreon. If you're subscribed, you know that you're going to get access to two special podcasts that are exclusive for subscribers. However, as I started thinking about it, I thought, you know, for just two podcasts, $5 seems a little bit rich for the blood. So I'm going to make an appeal to everyone out there who's currently supporting. I need you to actually stop sending money just for the month. I know that sounds crazy, but hear me out. Patreon won't allow me to edit a tier while there are people actively subscribed to it. So in order to do a lower tier amount, I have to have people stop paying. But that's good news for you, because I'm going to be changing the price from $5 per subscriber to $3. So this will hopefully allow other people who would like to support the podcast, but maybe don't want to throw an additional fiver out every month, to get $3. You'll still get the exact same content that you would have gotten before, but for less. Look at me, trying to give you guys a little bit of extra dough during the holidays. May not be much, but $2 is still $2, right? So head on over to patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios to either subscribe or actually follow the Patreon. Wait until the subscriber change wait until that passes through, and I'll alert everybody so you'll know, hey, now you can go subscribe at the new lower subscriber rate for $3 a month. Also, you can check me out on Streamlabs if you want to get some Wandering One Studios merch or some Link IB merch for my Twitch channel at streamlabs.com/linkib/merch. And I think the prices are pretty reasonable considering some of the things I've seen other streamers sell their merchandise for, and it's all good quality. My wife and I actually have a couple pieces of the merchandise here, and we love them. So hopefully you guys will too. And speaking of Twitch, don't forget to check me out on twitch.tv/linkib. 4 times a week. I'm usually trying to hit between 3 and 4 p.m. Eastern Standard, although things have been kind of wonky with the holidays, so don't hold me to that, but I'm trying to aim for 3 p.m. Eastern Standard, doing some gaming content, chit-chatting, playing with some people who are following me over there, and you guys are going to miss it by the time this comes up, but I do monthly subscriber giveaways, including a big box subscriber giveaway every 3 months, which the next one will be coming up in December at the end of the month. So it's the holiday big box subscriber giveaway, and lots of cool prizes go out to people who are subscribed. And just for $5 on Twitch, you can get a chance at winning. And usually I do a multiplier. So for the holidays, I usually say if you're subscribed at just tier one for $5, you'll get 3 entries just for being in there. That's it. If you're subscribed at any of the higher tiers, well, then I raise the multiplier up. And I'm not sure how I want to do it this time around, but I'm thinking maybe 3, 6, 9. I'll let your brains fill in the rest of that song lyric. But yeah, for tier one, it'll be 3 entries. For tier two, it'll be 6 entries. And for tier three, it'll be 9 entries. So feel free to stop on over at twitch.tv/linkib and show your support there if you'd like. If you're into video gaming or you know someone who is, send them that way. I'd appreciate it. Let's dig right into this. You know, I've been seeing a lot of stuff, especially during the holidays when, you know, tensions are high, stress is at its peak, you know, as we're trying to do our best to prepare meals, to get decorations done, to maybe search for presents for the holidays, for Christmas, or just navigating your interpersonal relationships with your friends, family, coworkers. I've noticed this thing that was popping up a lot lately about avoiding soft language when it comes to certain things. Certain scenarios, let's put it that way. One of those instances that I noticed was when people say, I sort of blah, 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 or maybe we can, blah, 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 or I was just blah, blah, blah. It really takes the punch out of your words and it softens your stance on whatever it is. So if somebody is saying, like, I want to do this holiday party, but I want to do it on a day that is inconvenient for everybody else. And you go, well, I was sort of hoping we could maybe put it to this way because I was just thinking that if it was that weakens your entire position. If you say, I think we should do it on this day because I believe blah, blah, and this will allow blah, blah, blah. The more assertive and confident speech that you put out actually can avoid a lot of extra headaches. People don't have to interpret whether or not you mean what you say. They don't have to guess if you're being a little bit reluctant or if you're trying to tiptoe around an issue. You can just be direct without actually having to cut somebody. I guess the best way to put it is you can sharpen your speech without hardening your words. Just by cutting out those soft modifiers. I noticed it a lot in one of the groups that I was following and was saying that a lot of women end up doing this as a way to mollify or placate a partner or a coworker or superior at work or even a relative. And, I noticed that it's not just limited to women. And so I was like, I've seen that a lot of times I've done this myself. And by doing so, I limit a little bit more of my punch behind the word, behind what I'm actually trying to say. So I try my best to avoid those kind of soft modifiers so I can be more direct because I'm also, I mean, for all intents and purposes, kind of a northerner in a way. I'm more of a Midwest guy, but people say that Midwesterners are rude and they're mean and they're short and curt. It's really not the case, man. The truth is, if you come from the Midwest, it's cold for a lot of the year. And the last thing you want to do when you're cold is waste more time being outside in the cold. So the only reason people are kind of curt and direct is because wasting my time is wasting your time and vice versa. So I want to try to get to the point, get what we need to say said, get what we need to do done, and get back inside where it's nice and warm, where we can feel a little bit more comfortable and a little bit less grumpy, maybe. But also, things kind of move at a smoother pace when you're in a warmer climate or even just a warmer room in the house, for crying out loud. If you've ever been to a room where you have a dead zone where the heater doesn't quite reach and it's a little crisp in there, as soon as you move into a more commonly heated area, you're like, ah, this feels better. And you feel like you're in a better mood. But that's the kind of thing about like the soft language is not the kind of thing. That is the thing about soft language is that it muddles your effect, it muddles your impact, and it allows people to have a way to worm through your intentions and kind of shoehorn you out of where you want to be. And I think that there's one thing I heard that was kind of a little aggressive, but it kind of makes sense. And I'm using the soft language right here just because I don't fully agree with this particular tenet. But the idea was like not to water yourself down so others can swallow you or chew you up. Let them break their teeth and choke. Okay, that's pretty aggressive. That's a little bit more aggressive than I would say. But at the same time, there's a certain merit to that idea. If you continue to water yourself down and water yourself down and soften your language and everything, by the time it comes a time for people to actually hear you when you're really adamant about something, you've basically trained them how to not hear you. Because your words always kind of have a lessened impact, instead of you actually being able to drive home your point, people go, well, now you're being kind of rude, aren't you? You're being a bitch. No, I'm not. I'm being assertive. I'm standing up for myself. And this is what it looks like when I'm not constantly letting myself be walked over or have my words be dismissed because they come off as a little bit meek or timid. Just something to think about, because when it comes to the holidays, there's lots of instances where that can actually become the case. And if you just let your yes be yes and your no be no and simplify your speech, and it's, the more you get to do it, you'll start to see your self-confidence grow. You'll start to see the way that people perceive you slowly start to change. And it actually can build your relationships a little bit stronger because people will respect you more. You'll have boundaries that are defined, but that are not constantly a brick wall between you and other people. And you still have a door that you can let people in and out of if you want to, in a manner of speaking. Something to think about going into the holidays, because I've seen some pretty knockdown dragouts over the years. You know, you go to people's homes or you go to your own family's, you know, gatherings and whatnot, and you go, wow, there's a lot of stuff that could have been avoided if so-and-so had said this instead and said it this way. Just something to keep in mind. And, you know, try it out. Let me know if you have a chance to comment or respond to me somehow. How has it worked for you? Did it work for you? Did it go badly? You know, give me a little bit of feedback. I'd love to hear what you guys have to say on the subject, and I'd be interested to hear more. Also, you know, I'm just going to move on to the next subject. I was thinking about this the other day. I'm a huge Mystery Science Theater 3000 fan. I subscribe to them on Twitch. I used to watch them all the time when I was a younger man and as a kid, and I've tried to keep up with it over the years. It's changed a little bit from its previous iterations, and that's okay. You know, I've been enjoying what I've been seeing lately. But I was watching one of the older episodes. It was based on a film called Time Chasers. And the movies are, generally speaking, not Academy Award-winning material, obviously. That's why they're riffing on them. If you're not familiar with Mystery Science Theater 3000, it follows the story of a certain individual, well, a couple. First one named Joel, who worked at this science institute. And the mad scientist there decided they needed a test subject, so they basically knocked him out, put him on the satellite, flung him into space, and he was set there. They were going to test his mental strength, so they just send him cheesy movies that he has to watch all day long, and they monitor his psyche. You know, in the time he was up there all alone, he built robot friends, and they're all kinds of weird personalities, sarcastic, snarky, you know, but just chatterboxy kind of people. And they do the thing that other people hate a lot, is they talk over the movie. But in this regard, it's obviously scripted. But in this regard, it's funny. They're making fun of the movie and having some fun with it. Anyway, after that little description, I was watching Time Chasers. And I'm thinking, like, why would anyone go forward in time? In the film, they hop around in this time machine that's built into, like, a Cessna. Don't ask me why they built it into a small prop plane. But why would anyone go forward in time? That takes a lot of cojones, man, because backwards probably fine as long as you don't change the future too much. And only up to a certain point if your skin is a certain color. Let's just be real. There's a comedian that said, anytime past 1980 as a black man, I don't want to go. It's a little too risky to go too far back in time. You might not make it back for very different reasons. There's a lot of risks involved, but going forward seems like it's even scarier. Just looking at the trajectory of the planet right now, how do you know that if you go forward 30, 40, 50 years in time, that there's even an Earth? I mean, it seems like we're on a pretty good path of like turning the air so toxic that the only creatures that'll be able to breathe it at all would be like single-celled organisms. Or maybe we actually ended up irradiating the entire landscape. And it does look like something out of the Fallout video game franchise. Maybe we blew up the Earth entirely. And by the time you get there, there's nothing. And then you're just floating in the vacuum of space. Too late to turn this puppy around. You're toast. I figure like maybe going backwards is probably the safer bet. I mean, there's obviously risks about, you know, time travel. You've all seen the movies. You've all heard the talk. You know, what if you go back in time and you accidentally, you know, you go too far back, you go to like the prehistoric period and you step on the first creature to crawl out of the ground. And then all of a sudden when you go forward, you know, the whole world is populated by monkey cat people. Just weird stuff, right? I love those kinds of ideas in science fiction. The interplay of science and the fiction creating the most bizarre and unusual consequences and storylines has always been fun for me. In so doing, what is your favorite sci-fi movie of all time? And it could be any subgenre in sci-fi. You know, I'm not going to limit you guys at all. But if you have one, let me know. I'd be curious to hear what you have to say. Obviously, for those of you who know me, I'm a huge Star Wars fan, so Star Wars, the original trilogy especially, holds a very special place in my heart. I grew up watching it as a child, and I've loved Star Wars ever since. Super happy when there's new Star Wars content. The most recent Disney Plus shows have been a point of contention, I guess, in the Star Wars fan community, but I've really enjoyed everything that I've seen so far. Outside of Star Wars, I would probably have to say that my favorite sci-fi movie slash franchise would probably be the Alien franchise. Yeah, I know I don't do horror very often. You guys have probably seen me or heard me talk about the fact that scary movies and scary video games are a little off-putting to me because I have nightmares. But I've always loved a creature-based horror kind of thing or scary thing. So Alien was a fun one. Jaws was another great one. We were kids, we used to watch Jaws all the time. So much so that when my little brother was born, when he was adopted, we were watching Jaws in the living room. My younger brother and my baby brother and I were watching it, and my baby brother was like freaking out every time Jaws came out of the water, right? And so we're obviously, young boys, so we were just scaring him every time we got a chance. My mom yelled at us to turn it off. He's like, "You're torturing that boy, leave him alone." And as we were like, "All right, fine." So as soon as we turned away from the movie, he started screaming bloody murder. Mom's like, "What are you doing to him?" Like, "We just changed the channel, like you said." And then all of a sudden he pipes up, "I wanna see the fish. I wanna see the fish." He wouldn't shut up. So we're like, "Mom," she's like, "Fine, put it back on, but just stop scaring him." We're like, "All right." So we put the movie back on. He instantly piped right back down and was just riveted. We didn't scare him really, but every now and again when the shark would pop up, we just give him like a little tap on the back or something, like boo. And but he didn't scream. You just freak out a little bit. But yeah. So I love creature films like that. And sci-fi is one of my favorites. Jaws doesn't necessarily count as sci-fi, but it's kind of close in a way. I actually watched The Meg recently, and I liked that because it was just a big, dumb action movie. It's also science fiction, creature film kind of stuff. And I haven't seen The Meg 2 yet. That's only because my wife hates those kind of movies, so I don't really watch them when she's around. But yeah, if you have a favorite science fiction movie, please feel free to let me know in a comment or a message. You can always hit up Patreon, where it's, free to join, and you get a free trial actually now. I forgot to mention that. You get a free 7-day trial before you subscribe so you can decide if you like it or not. So feel free to go ahead and take advantage of that while you can. I really appreciate it. So yeah, science fiction movies. It's just weird. Time travel in general is just weird. It's cool, but it's also very weird. We have to at least be honest about that. We're going to dig into a little bit of gaming content so we can get some of that out of the way while we're on the, nerdy kind of track. There's some interesting stuff happening. As you guys know, I have a Destiny 2 clan that I play with, and I play a lot of Destiny 2 on my Twitch channel, and I enjoy the game. I do not enjoy Bungie as a company. They've been really losing their way lately. But right around the holidays, after they made this huge batch of firings, which was very unceremonious and unwarranted, Bungie did this really slick thing, which you don't see a lot of companies do, but you definitely notice when they're like pandering to the community to try to be like, "Please believe me, we still have cool stuff," right? They pulled a really slick one just this past week. And for those of you who are uninitiated, what I mean is that in the game, you are able to dress up your digital avatar in different outfits. You're able to put on certain pieces of gear or accoutrement to kind of flesh out your character, express a little bit of how you perceive yourself in the game. They're called cosmetics. They've added a bunch of new ones. I mean, really, right on the heels of this massive backlash that they've gotten from the community. So much so that they've lost hundreds of thousands of players in the Steam community. It's on the PC platform. Lots of people who play on console have fallen off. And if they do play, they basically only just play with their friends long enough to have fun and then leave. They're losing money hand over fist, I'm sure, because people are probably not willing to throw more money at a company that's shown so little disregard for not just the community, but also their own staff. But here's a bad thing about it. They look really good, guys. I mean, almost every set that I've seen looks absolutely stellar, and it's such a heartbreaker because I can already feel in the back of my mind the poor folks who got fired going like, man, they put my stuff up there to make money off of me and they fired my ass, which is terrible, right? And I'm kind of torn because I know they're not getting any royalties for that work. They're gone. So like that money's just going straight into Bungie's coffers. On the other hand, I really want to rock some of this gear, dude. I'm being very principled and not buying stuff in Destiny just on general principle. I don't even want to buy the final shape when it comes out. Now it's been slated for a June 2024 release after this huge debacle. And oh, wouldn't you know it, if you fire 100 people from your company that makes games, you don't, have people to make the fucking game. So now they're like, we have to push this back to provide the best possible experience we can. Code 4, we fucked up. We fired all the people who made this game work. Now we got to see if we can get somebody else to come in here and build this thing for us. So don't expect it in February. You're going to have to wait a little bit longer. You know, it's very clever for them to drop these cosmetic sets. As right as they're starting to fall apart and really eat it as a company, this is a real slick move. This is real slick. I see what they're doing here. And I don't appreciate it, but I respect it from a business perspective because that's really clever marketing. They have a couple of great sets that are available. One called the Button Masher, which has a synthwave 80s themed arcade style look to it. Every piece of armor, every ship and every traversal vehicle they call Sparrows. So every ship and Sparrow and all the other little bits and bells and whistles have a very 80s arcade look. Looks like them. You could actually put a quarter in them and play a game off of them. Another set called Photonic Machinery, which is just a real slick, I don't know how to put it, like cyberpunk kind of look, I guess, is the closest way I could put it. Yeah, again, lots of neon and, you know, crazy slick lines, sharp angles, looks really cool. Dragon's Wrath, which is going to get all the Game of Thrones fans excited. I already heard more than a few people just the other day, like screaming about how much they wanted the dragon themed items, which do look impressive. And then lastly, but most certainly not least of all, is their collaboration with the game developer CD Projekt Red, based off of their very popular Witcher series of games, also based off of the books about the Witcher. Called the Monster Slayer set, which is a really beautiful collection of armor ornaments that can change the look of your armor no matter which class you use in the game. Cool stuff. Very geeky. I know I probably lost a couple of you there. I just think that it's interesting if you get a chance to look those up and take a peek at what they look like. I think you'll agree that it's very cool stuff, but you really would feel dirty about handing your money over to a company that's been basically aggressively screwing over just about everybody except for their CEO core or their officer core. A little rough. While we're on the subject of gaming stuff, I'm looking at rebranding my stream. As I mentioned, I stream on Twitch about 4 days a week, and I've gone with the theme of the dojo, loving martial arts and old, you know, kung fu movies, old and new, actually. I think that the dojo was a cool idea, but as I've kind of been streaming for a while, I feel like it doesn't quite fit the vibe and the mood of my stream as much, or even myself. I mean, I love shooters and I love action movies and I love like action games. I love martial arts games and stuff. But I think, you know, my heart has always really been more into like RPGs, role-playing games, story-driven content, strategy games. And I want to kind of chill things out, slow the pace down, and be able to enjoy gaming and playing games on Twitch and entertaining people who like that kind of content, because I know that that decision might lose me a lot of people who normally would watch my original branding. I'll still keep playing the shooting games. I'll still keep playing the action games, but I want a more mellow, focused, and chill kind of stream. So I'm debating the rebranding process, which will take a little while to fully implement, but That's just one of those things. You know, I think it maybe is also too, as I've gotten a little older, it's not that I don't want to continue to have fun. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm like, oh, the party's over, kids, hang it up, we're done. I don't know, man. I want to chill out a little bit more. Like, I can also focus a little bit more on the chat and be more interactive with people who either spent part of their time and or their money to come and see me, or who just got like turned on to the stream by somebody else and are like, this is really aggressive. You know what I mean? It's a lot of screaming and yelling and cursing when matches don't go your way or whatever. And I'm trying to chill that out. So maybe a shift in the overall genre selection might help make that happen. Well, let me know what you think. I'm going to try to test it out a little bit over the month of December. So if you happen to stop by the stream, let me know how you feel about the change in pace that I'm trying to affect in the stream. Yeah, let's dip into a little bit of this is going to be fun. Let's dip into the gridiron gripes because, yeah, it's football season. And I know you guys listened last week when I was making these picks, and I think I may have shot myself in the foot. Quite literally, almost. I chose for Chicago to lose against the Minnesota Vikings, and the Bears actually managed to pull out a win. Not sure how. They were just barely hanging on, but they managed to eke one out. And I would never have seen that coming. I would have sworn that Chicago would have fallen to the Vikings, but gotta give it to them. The boys managed to make it work. A lot of people in Chicago are a little too excited, but I think some of the older fans are still a little jaded and upset with the Chicago Bears organization and at large. But we'll see how it shakes out next week. Which is going to be great for them because they have a bye week, so they don't have to play. But we want to see how it shapes out, like next game, I mean. I also picked for the Jacksonville Jaguars to beat the Houston Texans. I actually did kind of think that that game might have been a little bit more one-sided than it ended up being, which it was fun to watch. It was a comedy of errors near the end of the third quarter into the fourth quarter, but the Jaguars looked solid. And they managed to hold on to their seat as the leaders of their division, which is wonderful. The only thing I hated about it, though, was it came at the price of a pretty decent guy and a really good kicker from the Houston Texans. Oh, man, I feel so bad for Matt Amendola. If you guys saw the game, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Sorry about that. That was the roofer guys. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Yeah, poor Matt Amendola. My heart goes out to you, buddy. But I also have to give it up to Coach Doug Peterson and some pretty effective and clever clock management and timeout management, using the last couple of timeouts to ice Matt Amendola in hopes that he would shank that kick or, you know, maybe left or right. I don't think anybody expected what we saw. When the 58-yard field goal attempt looks like it's going straight in and then manages to hit the crossbar on the field goal posts, and all you hear is this bong as the ball bounces back down towards the Texans. And I was like at equal parts of hell yeah and also oh no honey no. You could just see the look on his poor face when he heard that doink, and you're like, oh my God. Hate it for you, buddy. But good job to the Jacksonville Jaguars for hanging on there. That was a tight one. Let's not do that again. They would have sent that into overtime, and who knows what would have happened. Just try to take them out in regulation. That's all I'm gonna say. Just take them out in regulation and just be done with it. We can all go home. It's fine. But I mean, at least I did call that pick. Two of my three picks went south, man. I picked the Steelers to actually lose against the Cincinnati Bengals, who last week I believe I called the Browns. I think I called them I think I said the Cincinnati. I kept calling them Browns instead of calling them the Bengals. I don't think I ever put the two together. But anyway, yeah, the Steelers actually managed to take out the Bengals, which I didn't see coming at all either. And now I'm kind of wondering if I know anything about football. This has been a more peculiar season than the previous seasons, but it feels like ever since like maybe the last 5 to 8 years in the NFL, with all these weird rule changes and moving receiving lines and changing like how you can score a touchdown, what counts as a first down, how you're able to do this, that, and the other, who can actually touch a quarterback. Spoiler alert, no one really. It just, so many weird rule changes have made the game so much less kinetic. It's harder to gauge what's happening, in my personal opinion. But then again, I'm an old school football fan. I mean, I've been watching it most of my adult life. Not most of my life, period, since I was a child. I've always been a huge football fan. And I just feel like it's changed a lot. While in certain ways it makes the game safer, and I can understand that and appreciate it, in other ways it makes the game a little bit less fun to watch because you kind of feel like it's on a very sitcom-style script. Like, they know who's going to win, they know how they're going to get it there, and then they kind of craft events to make sure that it goes in that certain direction. And it feels a little bit more forced than maybe in years past. But then again, that could also just be a little bit of age and cynicism, you know? Not having that starry-eyed ambition to be a running back for the Chicago Bears anymore. I'm 45. I'm not running shit. If I'm running, something's on fire or somebody is dying. That's the only way you're going to really see me running. Outside of that, you know, maybe I'm late for the bus or something. I don't know. Anyhow, let's go on into the picks for this week, and we can talk about some other stuff. I have a couple quick stories for you guys before we wrap, and I think you guys are going to love it. Chicago Bears get a bye week. Good for them. They're going to need it. The Jacksonville Jaguars are going up against the Cincinnati Bengals. I said it right this time. And I think the Jags are going to take them. The Jags look hungry. They look strong. And with the 8-3 record so far, well, now it's eight, you know, it's just, I think that they're going to really put a hurting on the Bengals. Maybe the Bengals will be a little hungrier now after they took a kicking from the Steelers, but who knows? We'll just have to wait and see. My money's going to be on the Jags. I'm also betting on Chicago to have a restful week since they're not playing. And the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to get my nod again against the St. Louis Cardinals. And no real reason there. No real logic. Just a little bit of a, yeah, it's just what I think. That's how I feel about it. I think what I think is right. Right? So yeah, let's see. We're picking the Jaguars and the Steelers to win it next week. Let's hope it happens. Good luck to you guys, and enjoy more football. Like I said before, I was going to talk about some things that happened over the holiday week, and then also house story, and another weird thing that it just came into my head, and it was something I figured I should talk about. First off, the holidays. Oh, the holidays. So I tried a couple of new things. If you're following me at all on Instagram, it's instagram.com/linkib. You probably have seen some of the photos that I've taken of the gluten-free and lactose-free dishes that I've been making. And I'm thinking I might actually add some of this stuff as far as content is concerned, like write out the recipes and add those to the Patreon and make those available for everyone just for free 99 so people can have some alternatives to holiday dishes that might otherwise aggravate people with food sensitivities, which I never thought was going to be me. So maybe we should make that happen. Like maybe throw down a recipe or two to give you guys a little bit of oomph going into the holiday season and something that could be easily palatable for everyone. So I worked on using our new Carico pans, not a sponsor yet, made some homemade French fried onions, which actually turned out to be pretty good once I got the technique down and the timing. They actually turned out to be really good. And then I made a lactose-free cream of mushroom soup, which I know sounds weird, but it tasted pretty good aside from the fact that I added a little bit too many mushrooms. I chop them up real finely because I don't like big chunks of mushrooms in a soup like that. And I figured if it's going into a green bean casserole, which was the intended dish, maybe huge chunks of mushrooms might not be everybody's jam. So yeah, I made a lactose-free cream of mushroom soup, gluten-free French fried onions that actually were pretty darn good, pretty darn tasty. And then combined them together to make a green bean casserole that turned out to be a fairly decent hit. Yeah, I was really surprised and excited. I also found a gluten-free stuffing mix. Now, I'm not talking about like a dressing. Like I usually like to make a cornbread dressing. I'm talking about the traditional type of breaded stuffing that usually will go inside the turkey, which I haven't done in forever, but I think I might actually attempt this holiday. I haven't decided yet. I'll talk it over with the fam and see what they feel. I might put some in the bird and then bake a pan of it just on its own. But that actually turned out to be pretty nicely done too. Came from the Fresh Market. Was I forget the exact brand from the Fresh Market, but it was fairly decent. The bread crumbs themselves, like the little chunks, were really hard. So I had to soak them in a broth for quite a while. And even then, they probably still could have soaked for another. And they recommended 10 minutes. They probably could have easily soaked for an hour before they were soft enough to be, you know, a perfect texture. They were like bricks. I mean, they were hard, but they tasted great. And I added, you know, the celery and carrots and the other seasonings that I wanted. I think if anything, I might pull back on the seasonings a little bit if I'm able to find it again. But here's the fun thing. I talked to the gentleman at the Fresh Market and he said they only get this in just for the holidays and they can't keep it in stock for very long. It just sells right out. So the one box that we were able to order that day was the only box that they had in the store, and I managed to get it. So I'm looking around for another alternative. One of my friends brought a brand called, I think it's Aleia, A-L-E-I-A is I believe how it was spelled, from Target, but I went to my local Target and they didn't have it. So going to be on the lookout for another gluten-free mix, or perhaps I might actually just take some gluten-free bread, toast it myself, and see if I can make it work on my own. Who knows? But yeah, so that all went well. The ham went well. The other sides went well. The turkey was the one thing that I forgot to take out early. Now, for those of you who do cook turkeys, you know that if you get a frozen turkey, you got to take it out like a couple of days before the actual day you intend to cook it. I bought this frozen turkey because it was after Thanksgiving. We had a little COVID scare. We were worried that maybe we would get other people sick. So we rescheduled our Thanksgiving from Thursday to Sunday, which was fine because it would have given me enough time to make sure the turkey was fully thawed. Or so I thought. The problem was that I didn't take it out. I actually should have probably left it in the refrigerator over the course of the weekend up until Sunday. However, because I'm super cute and not that bright, I managed to leave it in there. And at Sunday morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm up trying to defrost this turkey, get it seasoned, get it in the oven, make sure it's cooked before people start to show up around 10, 11 o'clock. And I got it all squared away, you know, pulled everything together. I'm like, it's still kind of frozen in the middle, but it's open now. All the insides are out of it. So hopefully that heat will go through there and cook it. I'm going to lie back down around 7 o'clock. And I had the craziest stress dream I think I've had in a long time. I know some people that have listened to me in various different formats have heard me talk about how wild and unhinged my dreams are. This one, I woke up to hearing my stepson walk through the door and my wife was in the kitchen and I'm like, oh my God, the turkey. I left the turkey in too long. It's burnt. It's ruined. I jump up to go and check the turkey. And as I'm opening the oven door, I see the turkey has been hacked to bits. Like the entire center of the turkey has been carved out. One of the drumsticks is missing. It's basically just the wings and a drumstick in the back of the turkey. And I'm like, what the hell happened to this turkey? My wife is just standing there looking at me going, well, I figured, you know, I would just go ahead and carve it up and I give it to the people across the street and some of the workers who are out there, you know, on the holidays building the houses around the neighborhood. And at that point, I completely lose my shit. I'm screaming and yelling and she's just standing there with this smug expression on her face like, what you gonna do about it? I was infuriated. And then in the middle of this whole screaming fest, I woke up to find out the turkey was fine. She was still asleep. And yeah, I was just freaking the hell out about it. So like I barely slept. I think I slept for an hour and around like 8 o'clock, I went to bed back again around like 7:30, about 8:30. I woke up, checked the turkey. It was fine. And then just proceeded to stay up the rest of the day. I'm like, there's absolutely no way I'm going to sleep after this. It was killing me, just that dream. Then when she woke up, I was like still kind of frazzled. And I was tired. So I think she thought I was mad at her, but I wasn't. I did her. I'm like, no, I had this weirdo dream, man. And I've just been up ever since. I've slept for about 3.5 hours all night. I'm just worn. But yeah, stress dreams, man. Not even once, dude. Like, next time, turkey comes out 2 days before the day. Make that sucker sit in the freezer, in the refrigerator, 2 to 3 days easy. This way it's all ready to go. Ugh, what a day. But it was a wonderful meal. Everybody had a great time, and we got to spend out, like, you know, send out a lot of leftovers to everyone, so we didn't have a bunch of stuff just lingering in the kitchen, or lingering in our refrigerator. And that was lovely. I dig that. As far as the house is concerned, you guys have probably heard about the house woes and the, you know, things haven't been fixed, things need to be, you know, checked on and whatnot. Today was the day, and true to their word, they finally came through. The repair guys are really great guys. Still not really thrilled about Chuck Hires of Ashley Homes LLC in Jacksonville, Florida. I don't like that guy. I really don't. But DJ and Anthony, top-notch cats. I actually like them a lot. I know that they couldn't come by because they were basically being forbidden or whatever by the owner of the place. But fuck Chuck. DJ and Anthony are the bomb. And they came over and they just got right to work. And within an hour and a half, 2 hours, they were done with all the things they needed to do. And the doorbell ringing that you heard was the people who were the ones who installed the siding, or actually like the ceiling panels on our back porch. The ones that are blowing out when the wind blows because they didn't use nails to put them in. How smart is that? Yeah, we were like not really shocked that they didn't do it. There's been a lot of things around this house that have not been done up to code or up to snuff at all. That was just another thing. And the fact that it was just blowing out and would have eventually fallen down on someone. I mean, I don't know if that was a priority for Chuck, you know, as far as advertising for Ashley Homes. It's not a good look, dude. It's not a good look at all. You should probably get your shit together. And no, it's not slander or libel. It's a slander when it's spoken. It's libel when it's written. But this is just the truth. And we have the photos to prove it. You built a shitty product. So screw you, dude. Do better. Be better. And start talking to people nice before somebody decides to feed you your teeth. That's my advice. That's a free gift from me to you. The house is slowly but surely coming back together. Hopefully, as the repairs get made, some of the stress around the house being kind of janky will subside. We'll be able to settle into it a little bit more comfortably into the next year. Now that we're here, it's almost been a full year that we've been here. And it's slowly but surely going to begin to feel like home, I believe. I have faith in that. So yeah, let's keep hoping for good stuff. Also, we're going to talk about the last story and then I'll let you guys go. I like Duke Cannon soap. That's probably not a surprise to some people out there. I've actually sent Duke Cannon prize packs to people before. I've mentioned them in other podcasts and streams that I've done. And if Duke Cannon wants to sponsor this podcast, I'd be more than happy to sing their praises. Because in particular, I love their big-ass brick of soap product. It's amazing. And for the size of it, it's cheap. And especially if you order a subscription box, it can be even more so. Generally speaking, I'll order about 8 to 10 bars at a time. So I only order about twice a year. And a bar will last you a good long while. It's a 10-ounce bar of soap. And if you can picture what 10-ounce bar of soap looks like, if you can't picture that in your head, think about 2 Betamax tapes stacked on top of each other. That's about the size. A little bit smaller, but yeah, it's a pretty significant chunk of soap. And 10 ounces is a lot heavier than you think it is when it falls. Some of you may not know this, from some of you might, if you watch the stream. While I was streaming with some friends about 2 weeks ago, I spilled a cider in my office. And in my efforts to clean it, the plastic mat that my chair sits on to protect it from the rolling wheels of my chair, of the carpet, and I was cleaning the carpet, and a portion of the carpet was still wet. And as I went to step backwards, I slipped, and my left big toe slid underneath the edge of this hard plastic mat, and it sheared my toenail almost completely off about halfway down. Wow, was that painful. God, did it look horrible, and it bled more than I actually thought it would. But then I managed to just quickly bandage it up, patch it up, and we're good to go. So now we're on week two of wrapping my toe in bandages and antibiotic ointment after I give it a little hydrogen peroxide bath to prevent any infection, and just being very, gingerly walking around on that one toe just to make sure I don't bang it into anything else and separate the nail anymore. But showering becomes a little bit of a challenge because obviously you got to get your feet wet. You got to wash your feet. Otherwise, you get funk foot, and that's no good for anybody. So I'm in the shower. It just, I want to say this was not, yeah, it was Monday afternoon. And grab my big ass bar of Duke Cannon soap. There's sandalwood scent, which was delightful. And as I'm lathering up my washcloth, the bar slips and starts to fall. You kind of don't know what your brain's gonna do in that moment. Think about this. One foot's already injured. You're in the shower, you're covered in soap, you're wet, you're naked, and then this giant bar of soap just pops right out of your hands and starts moving in slow motion, it feels like, right down towards the ground because, gravity. In that moment, my brain did a couple of interesting little tricks. It was like a time dilation sequence in a film. Once the soap slides out, you hear the and all of time just kind of slows down. And I'm trying to decide in my brain in that split second, what's the move here? Like I said, you're in a wet shower, tile floor, you're naked, covered in soap, so you're extra slippery. You don't have the, what do you call it, the footing to make a quick lateral move to get out of the way. You don't know that you're going to have the alacrity to reach out and grab that bar of soap before it hits the ground or hits your foot or hits anything else. And if you do, when you catch it, do you grab it in a way that it doesn't shoot back out again? And now you've turned this thing into a projectile. Are you going to slip and fall trying to catch it? And then you're falling in a tile shower, crack your head and die because you were trying to make sure that your feet and pits didn't smell. Like so many things went through my head. Like, do I swat it? If I can't catch it, do I just slap it in midair so like it bounces? But then I've turned it into another projectile situation where it's bouncing around the walls of the shower to invariably hit me in the leg, in the foot, in the knee, in a much more sensitive place that's already now uncovered. And then it's back down to the floor again. I get to see myself, my toe split open, head split open because I fell just naked in the shower, bleeding out because I dropped the big ass bar of soap. I don't know. No, it makes me think about the fact that they actually do have what's like a washing kind of satchel that comes with the cord that you can wrap around your wrist. It's basically like a wrist-worn loofah that you can put that bar of soap in, and it's a soap saver and a loofah all in one. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should invest in one of those so I don't have this happen again. But that was all I could think as the bar fell and I just narrowly missed my foot. And I heard that dunk in the bottom of the shower. I'm like, yep, if that had hit this toe, I would have created new curse words just for that moment. I could see me actively like praying to every god in the pantheon of whatever you believe or whatever you've heard of or read about. You know what I mean? Jesus, Buddha, Allah, the many-faced god from Game of Thrones. I mean, I would have prayed to everything just to not hit my damn toe. That was a singularly terrifying experience that like really ended up being nothing, but in those like literally like 2.5 seconds from the time it left my hand to the time it hit the ground, I was like, this is really scary. Duke Cannon, if you're out there listening, I'll take one of those little scrubby things, please. You don't have to send it to me either. I'll buy it just so I don't have to worry about breaking my toe or tearing my foot in half over the next couple of weeks while I wait for this nail to grow out so I can finally trim it and be done. But yeah, good times. I think maybe I'll get like myself a little plastic stool and just sit in the shower next time. A little bit less farther for a little bit less of a distance for the soap to fall if it does have to fall at all. So yeah, good times, good times, good times. Thank you guys again. This has been a wonderful, although late episode of the Wandering One podcast. I want to say again, I appreciate everyone who's listened, everyone who shared the podcast. It really is helping. The numbers are going up, which is great because hopefully it means that I can actually start to guide where ad breaks pop into the podcast. I know you're probably hearing them. I hate that for you guys. I know it's probably stuff that I got no control over when and how it happens, but I just wanted to let you know that I do appreciate you guys for sharing it, for rating it, subscribing to the podcast, and just following along, seeing what's happening. Once again, my name is Link Flores, also known as Link IB, and I appreciate you guys. Check me out on Twitch at twitch.tv/LinkIB, like 4 days a week. Generally speaking, I try to keep it right there around 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. So take a little time, go swing over to twitch.tv/LinkIB and say hello. Feel free to hit up the Streamlabs store if you want some Wandering One Studios merch. We've got hoodies, t-shirts, mugs, and more. Go check out streamlabs.com/LinkIB/merch. Patreon.com, feel free to go and follow the Patreon page. But I would say just wait on pledging your support until I can get to the pin moment where I can change it, so you can get that 1 week trial without the reduced rate of $3 a month to support this podcast. I'd really appreciate that. I want to make sure that that update goes through with as seamlessly as possible. But also, if you, let me know. Do you think it's too much? Do you think $5 is too much? I think it's not too much, but I think $3 is a pretty decent price point, and hopefully that will encourage people to pop in and say hello and maybe throw a couple coins this way. But I'm always open to suggestions. Also, don't forget, if you're following the Patreon page, I will be pulling questions from there. So if you're subscribed, you'll get to actually hear the episode. There's the key point. If you're subscribed, you get to hear the episode. But if you actually go ahead and ask questions, I'll read that stuff off too. You can ask a question, you can share a story, you can share some feedback if you'd like, you can posit a theory, say, hey, what do you think about this? I'd be more than happy to read each and every one of them, as many as I can squeeze into an episode. And since it's a Patreon exclusive, hell, we could make them extra long if you want. We don't have to go for like 45 minutes to an hour. You can make them 2 hours long if you want. And Lord knows I could talk all day. So if you want to hear it, I'll go ahead and spit it. So yeah, just keep that in mind. And like I said, pause your Patreon support just for this month so I can get things sorted out and change the tiers. I don't want to cost you guys any more money, but I also don't want to drag this process out any more than necessary. So just do me a solid. I know it sounds weird to not ask for money, but don't send it this month. This way you can kind of, reserve some funds and I can switch it up and everybody else can have a chance to join in. All right, that's going to do it for today's episode. As I said, it's super late, but I got to get this up before it's time to stream today because it is now 1 o'clock and I need to get moving. Love you guys. Have a wonderful week. I'll catch up with you guys soon and see you a little further on down the road. Peace, everyone.